Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
So I've been on both sides of the aisle relative to this Public Records Act. As a the chief criminal deputy from 1995 to 2007, having to deal with public records requests daily, I understand that there are folks that try to abuse the public records statute, not unlike any other law, any other situation. You are not required to do the work for them. They have to ask for specific documents, and if you have them, you have to make them available. If you provide them, you charge them. Part of the problem that public officials are having is that they don't really educate themselves about the public records law, and they don't quite understand what they are obligated to do and what they're not obligated to do. That's problem number one. And I used to advise people all the time across the state. They would call me, what am I supposed to do here? What am I, you know, and typically I'd start off with, what do you have to hide? It is what it is, and it ain't going to change. The document is established. Worst thing you could do is go try to cover it up. You said it, you own it, plain and simple. If you don't want to own it, don't say it, plain and simple. An exercise of emotional intelligence and dealing with this in a business fashion and not shooting from the hip all the time. When I listened to Senator Heather Cloud yesterday about trying to justify shielding deliberative documents, emails, communications, and stuff, it became evident to me that she knows little or nothing about how government actually works and how this deliberative process works. She speaks as though every process leads to a finalized document. Well, that's not necessarily true. The vast majority of items that are spoken about, that there are emails that are delivered and bantered about and so forth, oftentimes don't end up in a finalized document, press release, this, that, or otherwise. So defining what deliberative means is where the rubber meets the road. The devil's in the details. That is an incredibly vague description. And it opens this up to so much abuse, it is absolutely ridiculous. And I'll say this again. These people think we are stupid. They really do. I'll go back to what I said just a moment ago. If you say it, you own it. You put it in writing, you own it. When you're creating documents, you need to be on point. It needs to be pertinent. It needs to lack a whole bunch of editorialization on certain issues, and you'll be much better served for it, of dealing with things in a professional manner. Where these things come back to haunt people is when they start from a stupid position. And they try to justify their idiocracy or their stupidity or their lack of understanding or their lack of knowledge. The lack of due diligence haven't been done in order to gain a better understanding of what it is that they're getting ready to opine on. And many times, the memorialization of what they said or what they do or what they put in writing is embarrassing. But you own it. Why don't you reflect for a few moments? The abuse that's being set up here is second to none. How many times is there deliberative speech by an individual who's not part of the final decision-making process? In fact, when it comes to the governor in dealing with agencies, agency heads and others, it's a lot. They ultimately make the decision. The governor has the right to weigh in. Why would we want to shield the governor's responses, feelings, expectations, intrusion into certain issues from the public? What does he have to hide? The easiest way to get around this is to have other people make and craft the ultimate final document that Senator Heather Cloud points out, never identifying all of the parties that actually had some input into the formation of the final document, because all of that deliberative speech and the identity of those engaged in deliberative speech is shielded from the public. So I can imagine that every decision made where a huge donor to the governor, with the scenario that I just identified, never gets revealed. Because we never know whether or not the governor participated in deliberative speech with his agency head. I mean, let's just say the head of the Department of Transportation and Development that has a huge budget, a lot of capital projects out there, a lot of things going on out there, from environmental law to economic impact, a lot of, as I said, capital projects. And we're never able to find out who actually weighed in. How did we end up picking that individual? Are we now going to say that the matrix in deciding in the procurement process is part of the deliberative process as well? The deliberative speech that went on in the formation of the matrix by which to judge these projects, is that deliberative speech? Does the public not have a right to know? Wouldn't you like to know if they were completely disrupting your community and planning a roadway through there as to who had their hand in the cookie jar, so to speak? Who are the players and who stood to benefit? And whose detriment did it work to? What did the individual elected official have to say who's representing that area as to whether or not they ever truly did speak up on your behalf or not? You would not want to know these things? I suspect otherwise, that you would want to know. And these protections are also going to apply to your local elected officials. Not just the Alibabas in Baton Rouge. They must think we are stupid. So this bill makes its way out of Senate and Governmental Affairs Committee yesterday. Senate Bill 482. Senator Caleb Kleinpeter from Port Allen voted yes. Senator Blake Miguez voted yes. Senator Gary Carter from New Orleans voted no. Senator Mike Facey from Houma voted yes. Senator Sam Jenkins from Shreveport, no. Senator Gregory Miller from Norco, yes. Senator Mike Reese from Leesville, yes. Senator Glenn Womack from Harrisonburg, yes. So you have six yeses, two noes, six people that don't want you to know. Next time you go to the voting booth, remember that. Jot those names down, because you are not worthy of knowing. We'll be right back with the folks that are putting together the recall campaign against the St. Tammany coroner, Christopher Tape. Stay with us.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.